This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Waylon McQueen.
And we're coming at you right in between the division series and the championship series
perfect,
is when we're recording that.
Perfect timing.
We're a couple hours out from the Cardinals and the Nationals starting the NLCS, which is crazy that those are the two teams that are doing that. But that's the reality. That's the world that we live in.
We each predicted 50% of it, though.
That's true. Yeah. I predicted Cardinals. You predicted Nationals. That Nationals pick... It's shocking that it turned out right, and it's frustrating because if the Dodgers had won, I would have been right about every pick so far.
Oh, you're right.
Playoffs,
you would have been, yeah.
Wild card games and the division series alike.
Yeah, wow.
Here we are. Not correct. So we have the Cardinals and the Nationals in one league, and we have
the senior circuit.
The junior circuit, we have the Astros and the Yankees, mm-hmm. which I think... probably the vast majority of people picked.
Everyone knew since June.
Right, yeah. So we're going to talk about those on this episode of the pod, as well as just review what just happened, because some crazy stuff just happened in the division series for sure. But before we get into that, we want to thank, as always, Boardwalk Audio and OffTheBenchBaseball.com for the help with distribution. Check out the many great podcasts on Boardwalk at BoardwalkAudio.com and get more of your playoff fix at OffTheBenchBaseball.com, because it is a great time to be reading about baseball.
Oh, yeah.
We're down to the wire. That was weirdly sexual.
Real juicy duck snort.
Real juicy. Just feel that smooth, sinewy, meaty. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Content.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start with, I think we should start with Dodgers Nationals, right?
Sure.
The big shocker. And obviously, we live in Los Angeles, so it is the Dude. It has been relevant to us. Dodgers fans are, let's say, unhappy with how things played out.
Yeah. When Howie Kendrick hit that grand slam, I just started laughing. Like, I laughed like I heard, like I was watching, like, Airplane or something. Not because I was laughing at Dodgers fans, but I was just like, I cannot believe that I just, like, couldn't believe that it happened.
Yeah. I mean, it was, like, unbelievable and also, like, the most extremely believable thing.
Oh,
for
sure,
me,
yes.
Because it was just, like...
Well, looking at the context of, like, leaving Kelly in.
Leaving Kelly in, the way that the game had gone.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, like, as soon as he walked Eaton...
Yeah.
I was, like... Kelly doesn't have it this inning.
Yeah.
I mean, so I should say, when he brought Kelly in, I was like, this is terrible. Kelly's going to give up a walk-off home run. And then Kelly was, like, totally dominant for the ninth inning.
Right, yeah.
He, like, struck out two and ended the inning on 12 pitches. And so it was like, okay, Roberts lucked out on this one. He got the good Kelly. Let's not push this.
No,
and
bring then he Maeda said, in. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right? Maeda,
well, no,
Maeda
came
in
for Kershaw. That's right.
But
which
that was a whole nother fuck up where it was like, well, yeah, why is Kershaw in?
Why is Kershaw still in after he gave up a home run to Rendon?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Even though, like, that was, like, not a terrible pitch. That was as much on Rendon as on Kershaw.
Right. I mean, Rendon is one of the best hitters in baseball. Kershaw, at this point, is an above-average starter.
Right.
And so it's like... an above-average starter is a good player to have, but not somebody who you restructure your late-game strategy in order to get them into the game, especially when you have Adam Kolarik, who's, like, been death against lefties, and you have Maeda, and you have Jansen, obviously, and you have Stripling, and you have May. You have, like,
a lot
of good relievers. Yeah. Like, this is not...
It was like a nostalgia move.
It was like a nostalgia move, and it, like... Yeah, nodding to what Kershaw has done for the Dodgers in the regular season. That's the other thing is, like, why are you going to gamble on Kershaw in the postseason? Even if it's not a jinx, why gamble, right?
Even if it's not a jinx, which it definitely is.
Which it may be at this point. But it seemed like it was, like, nostalgia, and it was, like, I got to show up Dave Martinez. And I'm sure there was nothing.
The Dave on Dave battle?
Yeah. I'm sure that was not actually an active thought, but it was like, this is what Martinez is doing. I got to keep up kind of a thing.
But Martinez is doing it because he has to.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's the key difference.
There were like 9 different articles, I feel like, during this series where it's like, this is a crazy strategy for Dave Martinez, but what else is he supposed to do? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, good point. It's like this or Hunter Strickland.
He doesn't have anything else to do.
But like... like Julio Urias is better than like any reliever that the Nationals have, yeah. Right?
And also, I don't want to skip series because we're probably not done talking about this, but something that it's what did the Braves in is the fact that Snicker like kept going to his bullpen that when they weren't people in his bullpen that weren't working.
Right.
Melanson like did not need to be pitching in that series anymore.
Right.
So it's like Martinez was doing what Snicker maybe should have done. And just like throw you, whoever your best pitchers are out there, regardless. And that isn't. I mean, Fulte giving up 10 runs.
Yeah,
that doesn't explain that. But like throughout the series,
right? Yeah, I mean, they did lose Game 4 in extras, right?
And they won Game 1 late, or they lost Game 1 late,
right? So
they had a lead in the 8th, I think, in the first 4 games.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that, but just sticking with the Dodgers. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, Kershaw, and then you have to burn Maeda to in
get
relief
of
Kershaw
inning.
To get out of that jam. And then you don't have Maeda later on. So you go to Kelly and then Kelly miraculously works. And then you leave him in to face 2-3-4 in his second inning of work when the dude has a 4.5 ERA on the season and has been toasted in any outing. Yeah. He's gone longer than an inning.
And then looks wild. Rendon has him sized up.
Yeah, immediately. like Rendon was like on Dude. Everything, just fouling it straight back, like just a little bit under it.
I will say this about Rendon and Soto had, I mean, they stepped up in that series. That like that's other than the pitching, that's exactly what the Nationals needed, and it's really cool to see because they've been great all year, and I love when I mean, this is what happened to the Dodgers, basically, is their great players didn't step up. But like, and that's just baseball because every player goes through a week or 2 week stretch where they're not their best or they go 2-for-20 or whatever, right? Like, and so sometimes it happens in the playoffs. But I always love when it's like, especially a team like the Nationals that doesn't have quite the national cachet, and then you see their 2 best players and like they consistently...
Or do they have the entire national cachet because they're the Nationals?
Did you see that Walgreens post where they thanked everyone for...
No.
Because you know the Walgreens logo.
The Walgreens
they were like, thanks for the
exactly
support,
like
everyone.
The Nationals logo.
We'll see in the NLCS. Yeah. But anyway, just like the fact that every time any big hit, not any big hit, but like what, almost every single big hit this entire series or walk or whatever has come from Rendon or Soto.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
It's like, I love seeing that regardless of who the player. I love when it's like the big guys step up. And puts them on a national stage. Like Rendon is what, probably the 3rd best player in the National League this year, or position player.
Yeah, something like that. And it has been for like the last like 3 years.
He's been a top 10
like,
for sure.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And Soto, man, he's 20 and he's not buckling
it.
Under this pressure.
Yeah.
He's so fun to watch.
Yeah. So Soto gets intentionally walked
right.
because he's crushing it.
Right.
As opposed to, again, going to Kolarik, maybe, who was on the team specifically to get Juan Soto, it seemed like. And Soto was 0-for-4 against him through the first 4 games.
Yeah.
And then you still leave Kelly in with the bases loaded against Howie Kendrick, who, like, he's not a superstar, but he's been
he knows
really
what he's doing.
Good this
yeah.
year. He's really hard to strike out.
And they're one out, right?
No outs.
No. So that's the other thing. He's really hard to strike out. Like, you're kind of probably, you're giving up a run there.
Yeah.
Because even a ground out double play, you're going to score a run. And a sac fly is only one out and could get Rendon over to third.
Yeah. So, yeah. You should be managing almost for damage control.
Yeah.
Of like, how can we get out of this without as few runs as possible?
Was this the 9th? I'm sorry. It was the 10th.
This was the 10th.
Yeah.
Also, and Kenley Jansen is ready. He's warmed up. Like, he's waiting to come in.
And this is his job.
This is
his
job.
That's what a closer is to face 2-3-4-5.
You're paying him like $20 million a year. He's not the same Kenley Jansen he was 4 years ago, but theoretically, he's still your best reliever.
Yeah.
Kelly clearly doesn't have it. Like, It is hard for it to be more obvious that a guy yeah. doesn't have it than the what we saw from Kelly through Eaton and Rendon. And so, of course, Kendrick hits a grand slam. So I laughed like you did. I was just like, of course. And then I laughed when two batters later, Kenley Jansen comes yeah. in. It's like, well, what's the point now? Like, you're down by four. Kenley Jansen comes in with one out and a runner on first. Yeah. Like, just make Kelly wear it, I guess. Like, try to. Yeah. I don't know either.
I was laughing in the way of like if you see someone slip on the ice, but then they like hit their head and then they shit their pants. You know, it's just like I can't believe this is happening. Like, I'm not laughing at you, but you had this is. It was one of the craziest things.
It was just the like I've never. I imagine this is what it felt like with Grady Little in the 03 ALCS, right?
Yeah.
Where it was just like so clear to every person on the planet that you need to change pitchers like three batters ago, like,
right?
And yet. You're still not out.
It's like a combo. Like, so that had like the Kershaw thing and the Kelly thing in one with Grady Little because it was Pedro.
You're right. Yeah.
So it's like both the pedigree, you got to go with my guy, even though he's gassed, and the you got to get him out of there. Because Kershaw, the argument wasn't so much as that he should have been pulled as that was he doing there.
Yeah.
Because he did strike out the first batter.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
and so,
for sure.
And you could argue, but it wasn't like he was gassed. It was just like, why is it Kershaw?
Yeah. Why is
and
he
Kelly
in here?
Was just. Obviously gonna throw meatballs,
right? Yeah. Totally inexplicable, extremely embarrassing for the Dodgers, I think.
Yeah.
And for Dave Roberts. And crazy to me that like the next day the Dodgers announced like, yes, Dave Roberts is coming back. That's like I've generally been a Dave Roberts defender. Like, I don't think he's a bad manager, but like, how can you bring him back after that happened? And, it's, like, it's so entirely predictable. Like, he's made similarly bad bullpen moves in the past playoffs that have cost the Dodgers games.
It's
like,
similar to Joe Madden in a lot of ways. Because I think Madden won in 2016, or the Cubs won despite Madden. I don't know. I think you got to get rid of him.
Yeah.
But they're not?
They're not. I just don't know how, like... I mean, maybe the clubhouse really likes him, you know, but like I wouldn't have any faith in him as my manager if I was a player at this point.
No.
Like if I
would just want something different. It's three straight years of being probably the best team and not winning the World Series.
Right. Yeah.
Or one of the two best teams.
Yeah. Super tough. And it seems like from what the Dodgers fans that I know and like sort of what I read on Twitter, it seems like people are scapegoating Kershaw a lot more than Roberts, which... is crazy to me. Dodgers fans are completely fucking unreasonable when it comes to Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, big time.
Like, they think, like, this dude is worthless, you know? And it's like, he hasn't been great in the playoffs compared to the regular season, but he's been, like, generally a serviceable starter in the playoffs.
He's had good games.
Yeah, he's like had good games. I mean, against the Nationals, what, two or three years ago, he closed out their series.
Yeah,
win.
He's had like highlights. He's just unfortunately had
a lot of
terrible
lowlights. Yeah. But this one is like totally not on him.
No,
I don't think.
I don't think so either. And especially because I think he shouldn't have been in there. I think the Rendon home run was a fluke. Not a fluke, but that, I mean, it wasn't even in the zone, the pitch he hit out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he grooved the Soto one.
Right.
That was like Kershaw.
I mean, the thing
like,
with like the Rendon home run, it's like, this is the reason that you don't bring Kershaw into the game, because he throws 90 now, you know?
Yeah.
He throws 90 mile per hour fastballs and like
anybody.
88 mile per hour sliders.
Yeah.
He doesn't, like, that's not nasty enough to get one of the best
it's
hitters in baseball
Max
out
Scherzer
in the late
or Justin
innings.
Verlander.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like
he's not ratcheting it up to 98, you know?
I wouldn't.
Completely absurd. Just what a disappointing.
But I mean, think about.
Dodgers
I mean, they
season.
Ran Darvish out of town from 1 year.
Yeah.
Like Dodgers fans get so unreasonable about this. They're just so hungry because it's been 31 years since they've had a World Series.
Yeah, and just like generally. You don't appreciate how good the team is from my perspective. And that's obviously a generalization, but just like, I guess I would be the same way maybe, but like I've never rooted for a team that's won the division 4 years in a row. So I don't know quite how I would feel, but from the position of I root for a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 11 years, I'm like, this was still a good season.
Yeah. I think that I mean, I think this one's hard to appreciate just because it's the third year in a row. Like, yeah, that you've been the best team. Like, it's like you're over appreciating having a good team. Like, the last, like, month of the season was spent
getting ready,
setting up different starters to be bullpen, like, just to get ready to win the World Series, and now they don't even have a shot at the Cardinals.
Yeah, no, that it ended up. I understand why they're extremely, like, frustrated about this season, but, like, the team as a whole, I think they're more down on than they should be, and Kershaw in particular. It'll be interesting to see if there is some kind of scapegoat, if Kershaw, like,
goes to the Cubs.
Could they trade the Kershaw? Well, I want the White Sox to trade for him. Like,
Cubs don't have the money, I don't think, for him.
I think if anybody trades for him, it'll be the fucking Astros, and they'll have Verlander and Greinke and Kershaw, the, like,
could you imagine that?
2000s rotation.
But all 2000s and still good?
Yeah. We should transition, actually, to the Astros, because speaking of the Astros rotation, we were texting about this during the Game 5 of Astros Rays, but Gerrit Cole is the fucking one of the filthiest pitchers I've ever seen. Like, I feel like that I watched him even earlier this year, and he did not look nearly as unhittable as he was against the Rays.
In. It was crazy.
Like, his off-speed pitches, like, defy gravity. Yeah. Like, it doesn't, like, they go up and then cut sideways.
What,
like,
the fuck are you supposed to do if you're the Rays in Game 5 or Game 2?
There's nothing.
There's
you can
nothing
do.
You could have done.
You do exactly what Eric Sogard did, which is, like, cheat on the fastball and hope you fucking run into it.
Yeah.
That's the only way that you're going to get anything off of him.
It's so crazy.
They also said, I was listening on the radio at one point, and it was like, sixth inning or something, maybe like that. They said it was the first inning, the previous inning, so I guess the fifth, was the first inning that he hadn't struck out a batter in since August 1st.
What?
So 2.5 months of starts. That's what? At least, that's like 10
starts. He struck out at least one batter.
In every inning. Yeah. It was the first inning since.
How fast does he throw?
Like 98.
God, that's not fair.
It's not fair. Somebody needs to give him $200 million. Like, again,
how old is
I want
he, like,
the White
26?
Sox to do it. He's, no, next year he'll be 29.
29. I mean, so he's got minimum four good years if he stays healthy.
You would think.
You would think, yeah.
You know, but I think, yeah.
Minimum is what I'm saying. He can turn into Scherzer or Verlander easily.
Yeah, and it's also like, you know, there's been talk of Strasburg opting out of his contract, and there would be Cole and Strasburg on the market. I would give Cole $80 million more than I would give Strasburg, probably, if I was an owner.
Yes, of course. Strasburg is a huge... He's very good.
He's very good, and but he's, like, a huge, he's an injury risk.
Yeah.
Cole's thrown 200 innings out of the last 5 years or something like that. Like, he just... Man, I really don't know how you beat him.
You put Cole in the National League, man, he could chase the strikeout record because he's facing pitchers.
Yeah. I mean, he already struck out, what, like 330 or something this season?
Yeah, 383 is the record, so how many pitcher at-bats do you
see? Yeah, right.
Because it's not going to strike out every one, but he's probably going to strike out 80% of them, right?
For sure.
Could you imagine fucking John Lester lumbering up against Gerrit Cole? You get fucking smoked. I mean, he used to, but that was back when Cole wasn't this good.
Yeah.
That's like, can the Astros afford Cole, or are they going to have to let him go?
I don't know. I mean, theoretically, they can afford him. Like, I don't think they're up against the luxury tax even. Like, and, like, they're so good.
How,
like,
can Cole walk away from whatever trainers they have or whatever staff secret that they sauce. Had? I mean, unless he figures, like, it's clicked. But, you know, like...
The only thing I can think of is, like, the Astros are one of the most analytically and developmentally progressive organizations out there. And, like... I don't know any analytical model that would say it's a good idea to pay $200 million to a pitcher who's a
29.
Year away from turning 30,
yeah.
Or any pitcher, maybe. So that's the only reason I would think that
they wouldn't do it. What I'm saying is, if the Astros offered Cole,
right.
Why would you, if you're
why
Cole,
would you say no?
Why
you wouldn't, unless it was more money elsewhere.
I think. But even like, I mean, I know I'm never faced with this situation, but I feel like if I was Cole, it would have to be a lot more money. Like, if it's 220 versus 200 or something, like,
maybe
take the 20 million less over eight.
I don't think you have confidence if you're Gerrit Cole that, like, I've been one of the best pitchers in baseball for the last 2 years. Like,
yeah,
I
maybe
can
I'm just have a different
keep it going.
But But also, I guess my part would be I was not one of the best two pitchers in baseball, right. although I should have been before I came here.
Right.
And then I came here and suddenly I'm like a terrifying pitcher to face in the playoffs.
I guess it just depends how much, like, you know, who knows what went on behind the scenes to turn Cole into who he is. But I guess, like, it depends how much confidence he has that, like, no, like, I've figured it out. They've showed me the thing that, like, I needed, and, like, now I don't really need somebody to hold my hand anymore.
It's like how active it is, which is what we don't know. But, like, if it's not active, I could see being like, okay, thanks, but now thanks for helping me make $200 million.
I don't know how the Yankees don't sign him.
I mean, that's like, sucks to think about.
It super sucks to think about, but, like, what does that team, which is a scary team, need more than a Garrett Cole?
Yeah, that's exactly. Well, what team doesn't need Garrett
Cole?
Well,
of course, but you know what I mean? Like, on a team that has like no
big
holes.
It's like
on
the big hole.
It's like James Paxton was their a game one starter in the DS. There's a huge difference.
It's like the Red
James
Sox getting
Paxton
Chris Sale.
And Garrett Cole. Yeah.
Even though
sure.
I guess they had like David Price, but still, like, Red Sox needed Chris Sale. Like, and Cole is a, I mean, he's up there with peak Sale. I would like,
yeah,
maybe
right
even
now,
better. Yeah,
for sure. Absolutely.
But yeah, it was like, you know, because I think a lot of people thought it'd be fun to see the Rays win. You know,
I did
people
too.
The Astros.
Generally,
but the second inning of that game, I was like,
no chance.
Especially since it was 4-0 right away, I was like, forget about it. Like, the only chance is to get his pitch count up and to get him out early, which they did not do. Like that, I was like, as long as he's in, they're done. Like, they need him to get out in the sixth somehow. That's their only chance.
Did you see the thing on Twitter, by the way, about Glasnow tipping his pitches?
No.
I guess they said on the broadcast that maybe he was tipping his pitches as well, but there were a couple ex-major leaguers. I think specifically the two that I saw, but possibly more, were Kevin Franzen and Trevor Plouffe.
Oh.
And, like, Kevin Franzen, as soon as he came out, Franzen was like, he's, like, tipping, he tipped every one of his pitches, and then Plouffe was like, I saw him in spring training, and I had every one of his pitches the entire game, and he posted a box score from Glasnow's spring training appearance where it was, like, an inning and a third, and he gave up 4 runs or something like that.
Whoa.
Which I thought was really interesting, especially because, like, Glasnow was, like, lights out during the regular season, so it's like, was he tipping and then he fixed it and then he fell back, or did...
Which seems crazy.
Was he just nasty enough that it didn't matter or whatever? But it makes sense that the Astros were on him from the first batter of the game if he was tipping his pitches. And the Astros seem like a team that probably has like a pitch tipping analytics coordinator whose job is to watch like high speed
but
video.
But you would also think if another team had it, it would be the Rays.
Yeah, true.
Like, it surprises someone on the Rays wasn't like, dude, you're tipping your pitches.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Unless he's tipping it in a different way somehow.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. The Rays put up a good fight. But
tipping pitches is like such a mystery to me. Like, it requires such a finely tuned baseball eye.
It's like poker tells where it's like,
right.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know how you.
Like, I'm never going to notice shit like
so
that.
So obvious. Yeah. I would be up at the plate being like, oh, God.
Unless he's like,
he's going to throw so fast.
In the windup, just like, fastball. It's like more of a Tourette's thing than a pitch tipping.
Dude, you got to stop yelling it out. Yeah, man, Cole's so good. I mean, what are the Yankees going to do? They're going to have to face him at least twice, probably 3 times if it goes 7. Unless he just gets gassed.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how it lines up now. Like, game one will be Verlander. And that
is
will
game
be
one today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow. So that'll be, it would be 3 days rest to start him in game two.
So he'll start game three
unless they go to him on short rest. So you'd probably only see
that's
him
super short rest though, because then they'd have an off day after two. After game two,
right?
He'd be on normal rest for game three.
He'd be on an extra day's rest.
Yeah, extra day's rest.
Yeah,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So
it'll be interesting. If any team is going to push it, it'll be the Astros because they put Verlander out on 3 days rest in game four.
Yeah, but Verlander is Justin Verlander. I know Garrett Cole is really good. I'm just saying Verlander has had, I know he's, I don't think he's ever played a playoff game on that short of rest, but it's like, you can do whatever you want with Verlander.
Well, yeah, true. I guess the counter argument would be like, guess what? You don't have Gerrit Cole signed after this season. Like,
who gives a shit?
Like, yeah, you don't, you know,
that's true. You're, I don't care if he fucking breaks his arm off. Yeah.
I mean, you don't want him to.
No, but
you do care.
That's the,
but
that's
like,
the harsh version.
Not,
but yeah,
you're not
saving him.
Right.
He's not part of your 2020 plan to win the World Series.
Yeah, not necessarily, yeah, anyway.
And Verlander is. Yeah. So maybe it probably just depends on how it shakes out, too. If they're down 3-2.
I guess the question is, do you want him going in?
So he'll probably pitch game 3 and game 7.
Right, yeah. Do you want him going in game 7, or do you want him going in game 6? Or if they go in short rest again.
I think if they're down 3-2, he goes in 6.
Or is it Verlander, Cole, Greinke, Verlander, Cole, Greinke, Verlander?
Could
be
that.
For the 7 games.
Verlander, Cole, Greinke.
Then everybody's going on short rest.
And then Cole on one day rest is in the bullpen, and Greinke.
Yeah, or Greinke.
Oh no, Cole, he'd be on 2 days rest. Oh, that's probably what they would. That would make the most sense.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, and then Cole, it's probably his like toss day or whatever, so he's ready to throw 2 innings.
Yeah,
and then Greinke, if on one day, on no days rest, is ready to come in.
But also, like, we could see a scenario in which the Astros are up 3-0 and they just are take it super easy.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Which is what they definitely would do. I think as long as they're up, at least if they're up 3-1 or 2-0, then they're, well, Greinke will throw game 3.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say we can talk about the Yankees.
Let's hop over, because Yankees Twins was the 3-game sweep.
Big old dud of a series.
The Twins laid a big old egg, as they have done for their past 16 now playoff
games? And 13 of them have been against the Yankees.
They've
or
lost,
12
I think it's
something?
16 in a row, 13 against the Yankees they've lost in the playoffs, which is, or maybe not 13 in a row, but
12,
13 of them.
Yeah, something like that. It's pretty brutal.
That's crazy. I don't know what to say. I said this right before we started recording, I guess, but like, it's enough to make me feel bad for Twins fans.
Which is a lot.
Which
you.
Is a lot, because I fucking hate the Twins.
Yeah.
I think
it's just, it sucks to be in the position as like, it's a victory if you would have, they would have lost that series 3-1. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, at least they could have one monkey off their back and they can't even get that.
I mean, I wonder how much like it really matters, just because I don't think there's really anyone in the entire organization who, except for maybe ownership, who is like a holdover from those previous Twins teams.
If it matters to the players, you mean?
Yeah, or matters going forward. Like, I don't know how much it's actually a monkey on Rocco Baldelli's back. That
no,
they've
no, it's
lost
a monkey on the fans' back.
It's on the fans' back and on the franchises. But I don't think, like, if the Yankees and Twins were to play each other again next postseason, I don't know that, like...
I'd be sick of hearing it if I was a player.
Yeah. But you wouldn't have, like... I don't know if it would get in your head...
That was the whole, like, 2016 Cubs thing, is they were like, all those young guys were like, we've been good for two,
right.
Like,
yeah,
like we're just
made
like
the
a
playoffs
good team.
Last year, and that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and,
of,
like,
yeah.
We're pretty young. It's like, we weren't around 100 years ago or whatever. Yeah, I think you're right about that, but I think as a fan, I mean, I would just be like, I would hate it. I would hate it so much.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think partially, too, it's probably expectations where, like, the Twins won 100 games, you know?
Yeah.
And so you expect them to be the same quality as a team like the Yankees, which also won 100 games. But, like, I think it's also, it's kind of revealing about the AL Central, right? That, like, they played a shitload of games against the Royals and the Tigers and the White Sox.
Yeah.
And none of those teams were very good. And one of those teams was historically awful. So, like, probably the Twins were actually a 94 win team, let's say, and like your expectations are a little bit different for that team in the playoffs.
But I think the Twins are still good enough to not have been swept.
Oh, sure. I mean,
like,
I,
it's
mean,
not, the- I don't think they were like so much worse. I thought the gap between the Astros and Rays was bigger than the gap between the Yankees and Twins talent wise.
Yeah, sure. I can agree with that. But I guess like all I'm saying is like, I think Twins fans are probably more disappointed than they would be had they been like...
Oh, like squeaked in, like
right,
as a 90,
yeah,
94
yeah.
win
yeah, exactly.
division winner. Yeah, yeah. I think you're right.
Like that just sets a different baseline level of expectation.
And like you're spending all year, this is probably one of the most fun Twins teams in a long time, even over previous playoff teams. And you're spending all year getting jacked because you know you're making the playoffs. You held off the Indians, which is like, so you're coming in with like a lot of this is our year feeling if you're the Twins, I feel like.
Yeah, no doubt.
But, you know, then you get run into the Yankees.
Then you run into the Yankees. And I feel like from the Yankees' perspective, like this was just a tune-up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they were particularly extraordinarily good in this series or anything like that. It's more just like they did what they had to do. They took care of it.
They swept the Twins.
Yeah, it is like a scary deep lineup now that Stanton is back and Judge is back and Encarnacion is back. Like, they're a better team than they were like a month ago or whatever. So it's nice to see that play out, I think, if you're a Yankees fan.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it would give me a ton of confidence against the Astros when, like...
Oh, no, yeah, you didn't see anything. It's like in football, like the Patriots playing the Giants, and then it's like you don't learn anything from
that. Right, yeah, exactly. It's not like you feel like, oh, yeah, like Luis Severino is our guy now. He's our Garrett Cole or whatever. Yeah. Like,
you're going against the fucking Astros.
Yeah.
I don't know. Should we talk about the last series, the Cardinals-Braves? We talked about it a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Pretty classic. Talk about epic chokes.
I don't even know if it... Yeah, I think it's just classic annoying Cardinals. God, I hate them.
Cardinals double magic? Well,
They choked two games away. The Braves could have very easily swept that series or won it in four.
Yes. I don't even think that was the choke, though. I think game five was the choke.
The first inning.
It was totally unforeseeable that Fulton Evich would be that bad.
Especially after being that good in his previous game.
Right, yeah. But they did, like... It got in the entire team's head like super quickly. Yeah. It felt like the defense really fell apart. Did not help get out of that inning in a way that like would have given them any kind of chance in the game. Right, like
that is Zuna that dropped third strike where Zuna didn't realize he had the option to run. And
yeah,
McCann,
he wasn't even
like,
gonna run.
Fell
it
down.
Was like slow motion.
Oh,
was
it was brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
and Albies made an error at second, right?
Yeah.
Was
a lot of
there
walks.
Might even have been one additional error, one additional misplay in that inning. But like, 10 runs in the first inning of a elimination game is like unbelievable.
It's the most runs in the first inning of any playoff game ever, and then it's also the ties the most runs period for any inning in any playoff game ever. And it's the first inning of an elimination game.
Yeah, I don't even know, like, this is another one where can you bring back Snitker? Like, I guess it's not his fault, right?
I mean, Evan is pretty mad at Snitker, but, you know, he also was sending me stuff, like, in the third inning of that game, so I don't think he was happy. He's not great. I think it sounds like it's almost like we're getting to the Dave Roberts level of does he know how to manage a bullpen?
Yeah.
In the playoffs especially. Like, or like he has faith in guys or it seems like he might be the type of guy that like I'll let him work through it and then it's like the playoffs aren't the time, dude. Like,
yeah, right.
But I
guess like more of my more specific question or more general question, I guess, is not like do you fire Snitker? It's like what do you do as an organization to wipe the slate clean for next season?
You got
to
get a bullpen. That's that like bullpen's been bad all year. Like I know they tried, but that bullpen has been a disaster. And I mostly only know because Evan has almost religiously texted me anytime they blow a lead, and so it's like so many texts, and it's just like I would have been so nervous going into the playoffs with that squad with that bullpen.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I don't think you go to Snitker yet, because he was obviously doing something right last year because that team shouldn't have been as good.
Right.
And this year they were better than we thought they would be. Like they ran away with that division that everyone thought was going to be a 4-team race. So I have a hard time pinning on Snitker this early, but you got to do something about that. I know every team needs bullpen help, but that's like such.
Well, the crazy thing is like they out of everybody had like. They had too many arms, right? Too many pitching prospects.
Yeah.
And Soroka is really the only guy, I guess Freed as well, who have graduated to the major league level and actually like provided sort of what was anticipated. But I wonder if like with the remains of those aren't like whoever is still there, like Kyle Wright, I think, mm-hmm. A couple other guys, they traded a Colby Allard and they let go of Luis Gohara. But I wonder if like, say with Fried, right? Like, do you spend all of next season being like, you're Josh Hader now. You're not a starter anymore. You're Josh Hader. We're going to use you Josh Hader the entire season because, like, we need Josh Hader in the playoffs.
If Fried is down, like, I think that's a good...
I mean, I don't know. It has to be. Anybody needs to be down necessarily. It's more like...
I think you do. I think when you're switching from starter to reliever or reliever to starter... Like, remember what happened to Aroldis Chapman when the Reds tried to say, like, you're a starter now, and he just was...
Yeah,
I know he's Aroldis Chapman, so it's a different thing.
Well,
but
I also just think it's different going the other direction. It's different going bullpen to starter because, like, starting requires a lot more from your body, and it requires you...
Yeah, but it's an ego hit to go from starter to... bullpen. I mean, I know that we saw like
Wade Davis did it. Josh Hader is the two-time All-Star, right? Like,
I'm saying that there's argument, but I still think he has to be down because I think if he's not, I think if Fried's like, no, I'm a starter, I want to give it one more year, like it's gonna be a tough position for the Braves to force him to. Is what I'm saying.
Take Fried out of it, then like Kyle Wright, right? Or
I think that's a good strategy. I think they need to find someone to say like, forget starting, we need you for an inning, or we need you for five batters. Yeah,
forget Shane Green, forget like free agent relievers that are like going to be as hit or miss. Like, we're not going to get Aroldis Chapman on the free agent market. Like, what we need is a young dude who can like fire fucking bullets.
I know he's not that young, but like one of the best things the Royals did this year is put Kennedy in the, like, it works a lot of times. And I think that that's probably a good move for the Braves. I think you're right. I think to take like a not high end starter and say like, you know what you could be, is one of the best 10 relievers in the game.
Yeah.
And you can be the dude that every time Soto and Rendon come up, or Bryce Harper and Real Muto come up, you're shutting them down. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess like where I would quibble is like, I don't think you want to take like a medium level starter into it. That's not quite what I'm saying, take a number three
prospect.
Starter. I'm saying take somebody who like has crazy good stuff already could even be probably a good starter and say like, we don't need a good starter.
We need a shutdown reliever.
Is like a shutdown guy, and we can't do it just like September ends and you're a reliever now like they did with Fried. What we need is a guy who's like in that role and thriving in that role, rolling into the playoffs for the whole season.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan.
That's what I would try to do, maybe, yeah. I guess.
But also, it's like, look at, like, I know it's going back, but like that dude Nick Anderson for the Rays.
God.
That, like, who was that? Like, he was nothing.
Have you read any stories about that guy? He was in jail like 4 years ago.
But he was like even nothing at the beginning of the year with the Marlins.
Yeah,
and
he didn't make the team even.
Yeah, he got traded to the Rays, and suddenly he's like their most valuable bullpen guy.
That is crazy.
Which also just goes to show the Braves just got extraordinarily unlucky.
That's
or
true.
They have terrible pitching staff. Coaches. Yeah. Like, those are like, if the Rays can get Nick Anderson and suddenly he's like the dude that's getting them to game five against the, or helping.
I kind of don't think you can compare anything the Rays do to any other organization. Like, I don't think any other organization.
It doesn't happen
it.
With just the Rays. I mean, you hear about it all the time where like some rando dude comes up and like,
I guess, like, what, like, to me, the Braves don't need, like, the flash in the pan guy. Like, Shane Green is a flash in the pan guy, right? Like, what they need is a bullpen horse.
But I think they need that for the regular season, but they were already won 97 games without that this year.
I don't think they need it in the regular season. I think, like, this is clearly a stupid argument that I'm making, which is, like, probably why it's unclear, but, like, I think they just need a guy who this is always his role. We're always going to depend on him, and we don't need him probably necessarily to make the playoffs, but like we don't want to take a Patrick Corbin and put him in the bullpen. You know?
I agree with what you're saying, but I also am saying that I think you do need a little bit of that flash in the pan for the player.
You need good luck for sure.
Yeah,
you need good luck.
Like, it would be very helpful if any of the five bullpen people or whatever that they traded for was as good as Nick Anderson and or caught fire on September 27th and stayed that good.
You're right.
So if they had Freed in the role all year already doing that, and now they have their Nick Anderson, now they're like really in good shape. So I'm saying like it's a shame that they didn't get this guy that's like may never be good at, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. May never ever sign a $2 million contract versus, but I think you're right. I think not only to get to the playoffs, but so when you get into the playoffs, you can at least say, we have Hader.
Like, or yeah, this is our guy. Yeah. We all know it's our guy. Like, everybody else needs to step up, but, like, there's no question, like, he's going to be the most valuable reliever that we have.
Yeah, and that you know that in the playoffs, he can play every day and then win.
Yeah, and he can pitch two innings in five out of seven games or four out of five games or whatever.
And when they're two on and you're up one and two on and one out, you can bring him in for the rest of that inning and then maybe the next inning.
Yeah.
Like, you need that guy. I think you're totally right.
Yeah. Yeah. All that to say, Hader blew the game for the Brewers in the wild card game. So
you never
maybe
know,
you just
man.
Need to fucking get lucky.
Yeah, you never know. Right. But
what? No, you want to talk Cardinals?
Not at all.
Let's talk about the
LCS. We didn't talk about them at all.
LCS.
Cardinals versus
Cardinals-Nationals. Do you still, who are you? Are you riding with the Nationals?
Yeah, I don't remember, but I think I picked the Nationals to
I
go
think
to the
you
World
did
Series
because
at the beginning of the
didn't
year.
Didn't want to. Oh, the beginning of the year.
I
don't
definitely
remember that.
Did last time.
Yes.
I picked Astros Nationals World Series for sure.
Still alive.
But I think even at the beginning of the year. Also, I can't pick the Cardinals. I don't even think this is like being a weird homer. I think the Nationals could beat the Dodgers. It's not crazy to think that they could beat the Cardinals. And so
last week I said I think the Nationals are the only NL team that can beat the Dodgers. And like I think that makes them the best team in the National League, probably. The only question I have is like they really did ride those three guys super hard.
That bottom
Scherzer, Strasburg,
at
and
any
Corbin.
Time.
Like they almost need to have a chance in the series. They need like two out of the first four games to be blowouts where whether they win or lose, they like don't.
They can just
use
throw
those
whoever
guys in
out
relief.
There.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
You're right. Did you see Scherzer in
the bullpen?
Just like
in
wandering
game five,
around with
just
his
like
glove
all
on.
Hyped up, like,
and he was the first one out. I love that guy.
He's awesome. He would scared the fuck out of me if we were locked in a small room together. But he's awesome.
Yeah. I think that at any point any of those three receivers are just done. Or, I mean, receivers, pitchers are just done.
Yeah, right.
Like, because he'd been ridden so hard. Corbin is who I'm most worried about. And then Strasburg.
I mean, he was like, good in game five.
I just, like, I don't, he's never really been pushed like this before.
Yeah,
so
this
that's,
is true.
He also
only throws sliders. Whereas, you want me to throw 40 sliders every 2 days until we're out of the playoffs? Like, I don't know if that's going to work.
I'll tell you what I hope is that Wainwright gets crushed, because I was real tired of seeing those fucking curveballs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how his whole career has been, curveballs. Yeah. But, man, I can't stand that guy.
Who would have thought that in 2019, Adam Wainwright against Anibal Sanchez would be a game that
like
we're going to watch?
Like an all-time great pitching duel game.
Yeah. Wild.
Or wait, no. I mean, who was that against? That was the Folty game, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, so I guess, but now I see what you're saying. That was that the Folty game or was that a different game? Against the Braves.
No, against the Braves, it was Soroka. He was Soroka. But I think today we're getting Adam Wainwright against Anibal Sanchez.
Game one, NLCS. Yeah. Adam Wainwright versus Anibal Sanchez.
Wild. I like Wainwright. I know you don't like him, but he seems like, just because he's a Cardinal, but like he seems like
of course it's just because he's a Cardinal.
Like he seems like a good personality, an enjoyable personality, in addition to obviously having been a good player for a long time.
Here's why I don't like that. You know how the Cardinals, this is setting up so perfectly for being a year the Cardinals win the World Series.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Everything's falling into place. The Braves collapse. They don't have to face the Dodgers now.
Yeah.
And then especially if the Yankees upset the Astros, mm-hmm. and then now we're set up for a stupid classic Astros World Series win. and I
Cardinals, you mean?
Or Cardinals, and I couldn't be
classic Astros. Classic Astros World Series. You know how they won
always
that one
won.
Time?
Yeah. 2 years ago. No, it just has the feeling. You know what I mean? You know, like
I'm
in the NBA
win,
it's just like, oh, the Spurs are gonna win.
Yeah.
Even it, or the Patriots. Anyway, I'm gonna pick the Nationals. Yeah. If the pitching holds up, I think they're the better team.
Yeah. They certainly like in terms of top end talent. Like,
yeah.
The Nationals' four best players are better than any player on the Cardinals. Like Scherzer, Strasburg, Rendon, and Soto are better than any player on the Cardinals.
Yeah, definitely. Who's the best player on the Cardinals? You think Flaherty?
I guess, yeah, Jack Flaherty probably, or Paul Goldschmidt maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Who had a bit of a down year. Actually,
he's been good
obviously
in the playoffs,
the best player on the Cardinals is Yadi Molina.
Hall of Famer Yadi Molina.
Hall of Famer. You know, it's like once you put intangibles into account,
he's
the
best
player in the league. MVP.
Yeah. I haven't seen intangibles like this since Derek Jeter.
I mean, I'm certainly rooting for the Nationals, and I'll also pick the Nationals now that the Dodgers are out.
I think the Nationals could get to the
World Series, and they would have a solid chance of winning, I think.
I mean, if you can beat the Dodgers, you can beat anybody.
It does.
But it's five games. I don't know if the Nationals win in seven. So.
It does disconcert me a little bit that, like, anytime they cut to Dave Martinez, it looks like he is holding in diarrhea. Like, that is just his resting face is, like, a little bit tense and, like, not great, not feeling great.
I mean, he's probably panicking. Like, it's a constant, like, oh, my God, I'm in the NLCS. So, Max, you're good? Max, you can still pitch? I don't know. Yeah, I would love to see the Nationals in the World Series.
And Astros, Yankees. I mean, we can't pick against the Astros.
We can't, yeah.
I mean, it is crazy that the Astros series went to five games. I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that they got to Verlander in the way that they did.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I could easily see, like, okay, they got their bad baseball out of their system, and now they win eight games in a row.
I mean, you have to assume that if Verlander and Cole each go two games, that the Astros
they're gonna
will
win three of those four games.
I was going to say at least two of those.
Yeah.
So then that's two wins in the books.
Right, like, yeah.
At least two, and you only need four.
Right.
And that's not even taking Greinke into consideration. I know he had a rough outing, but they're not going to all be rough.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that the Yankees can mash, obviously, but like, I just don't see. They're not. I don't think they're better than the Astros. I think they're definitely
they're gonna have
not
to,
as good
you know
as the
what,
Astros.
What is interesting is like, it almost reminds me of the Brewers-Dodgers series last year a little bit. It went seven, and like basically what happened is the Brewers rode their bullpen to the seventh game, and then the bullpen crapped out on them because it had been ridden so hard. And I think that's probably what the Yankees need to do, is like hope for four innings out of their starters, five innings out of their starters, maybe.
And then ride the bullpen.
And then go to Canely and Betances and whoever else, you know, Green. Like, they just have a lot of good bullpen arms.
The one good thing about the Yankees, and the Astros can do this too, which evens it out, but the Yankees can jump on you. And so it could definitely be 5-0 in the third.
Right.
Real easy. And the Astros could hit. But then if it gets to the bullpen at 5-0, then I think that's the Yankees. They just need to jump on those starters, which is easier said than done.
Right.
Because the Astros are just never going to go away.
Right, yeah.
Because that's like when the Astros jumped up 4-0 in the race, it's just like, oh, how are they going to possibly come back from this?
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, also like playing in Yankee Stadium, like the lefty power that the Yankees have and all of the Astro starters are right-handed.
Yeah.
It's like if you leave a fastball up or like float a breaking ball, like that's down the line and gone probably against a lot of guys in that lineup.
Yeah.
So that would be the thing that I would look out for. But
and that's actually a pretty good point, because it's go 2-3-2 as far as Astros. Yeah, you know what I mean? So if the Yankees can steal one in Houston, now they have three games where they probably enjoy a little bit of a home field advantage.
Yeah.
Just because of the way their lineups are constructed. I don't think that's like huge, but you could see a scenario in that situation that you're going back to Houston and Houston's down 3-2.
Yeah. also, like, the Yankees won 103 games. So, like, they're good. They're really good. Like, they're very, very
and
good.
And, like, I mean, a pretty good division because the Rays were good. It's much better than the Central. The Rays were good, and then the Red Sox were, like, okay. The Orioles were bad, but the Blue Jays were better than
sort of
the
regular
Royals.
Bad.
Yeah.
Blue Jays were like White Sox quality, kind of.
Yeah, somewhere between the White Sox.
So you're trading out like the Royals for the Red Sox, maybe.
But that's a significant.
Yeah, and the Rays are better than the Indians as well.
Yeah, for sure. So, it was a legit. I'm not taking anything away from the Yankees, and I think that they
I'm
would
taking
be.
Taking it all away from
I
them.
I think that they're probably Lucky the break. Third best team this year, right?
Yeah, I would say.
And so, but they just also happen to be going up against the team that I think is definitely the best team.
Yeah. Well, those are our picks. We will see how it plays out. I'm excited to watch.
I hope both series go at least six games.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't mind if the Cardinals got swept because I hate them, but like this has been very fun to watch for not having a team in it.
That was the main thing that I was rooting for in the first round was like maximum game fives.
Yeah.
And getting three of them was pretty fun.
And we had 2 days where there were four games.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Which was really
cool.
Great. Yeah. And so that's what you have not having a team in it. This is like almost a perfect first round.
Yeah, for sure.
So I hope for
that to continue.
Great LCSs. Yeah.
Well, we will be back talking about the LCS for sure ahead of the World Series. So keep your eyes glued to that feed, babies. what do you think about my new catchphrase?
Eyes glued to the feed.
Eyes glued to the feed, baby. Thank you again to Boardwalk Audio and to OffTheBenchBaseball.com for their support. Thank you to Producer Joe for the theme song and Moon Bounce for the outro music. Thank you to you, Wayland, for being the guy that you are, always and forever.
Great.
Everybody check out Wayland's Instagram page for a hilarious picture of him in high school at Wayland Extreme. And
it's public, baby. You can see it. Yeah, no private.
Hey, give him a follow. Give him a follow when you look at that crazy picture.
Can I read one? This is the last bonus stat.
Yeah, bonus stat.
Bob Gibson's 1970 batting line. So I assume everyone knows that Bob Gibson is a pitcher.
Yes.
He had 124 plate appearances. His slash line was .303, .347, .404.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's
so
very
everyone
good
think
for a
about
pitcher.
How good Bob Gibson hit in 1970.
Yeah. That's a fun stat. Did you just see it on Twitter?
No, my friend Brian Burt, who's a big Cardinals fan.
Oh, nice.
Sent it to me.
Cool. Love it. Well, with that, we are out of here. We will talk to you guys next time.
Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.